This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Jim Lilienfeld of ADRF. Jim, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Hey, Donnie, appreciate the invite. Thank you.
Well, IWC is just around the corner. ADRF always has cool stuff. What is it you guys are showing this year?
The showcase of what we're showing this year is a new unit that we're bringing out that's going to allow our customers to put in what we call converged networks. So, you know, in the world of wireless, converged network really means the addition of adding public safety and commercial AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile onto the same passive infrastructure, and in some cases, even onto the active infrastructure if the AHJ will allow that to occur.
Okay, and you're talking about converging within the building?
Converging within the building. So in other words, opening the door to allow coverage for the first responders, but then augment that with the AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile signal that would allow not only the first responders to use that particular those frequencies, but also allow the inhabitants of the building or the occupants of the building to be able to communicate with their standard networks that are out there for AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile, but also to be able to communicate in the event of an emergency to first responders, and also have the first responders have a secondary backup for their push-to-talk radio systems using the LTE network that's out there today.
Okay. Well, so does this meet like NEMA 4 and other certifications?
So the systems will meet the same level of code that the NFPA or the International Fire Code requires. So in other words, the networks that would be built would have to be built in accordance with those codes, okay, and put in. The difference between the two is that in the case of the systems for the first responders, all the electronics, all the NEMA 4 boxes, all have battery backups, et cetera. In the case of the commercial networks, the separate commercial networks could have that. In the case of the new cabinet that we've launched, our new head end, we have that available through both its NEMA 4 and it's also through UL2524. But on top of it all, then the rest of the system, you know, the code, the cabling and all the antennas and et cetera that go into the building have to meet code. So everything has to meet the fire code that goes in. The only thing that varies from that is the actual electronics for the commercial systems don't necessarily have to meet that code. But that's a secondary backup to the first responders network that's going into the building.
Okay. All right. Well, although do you see a day where, you know, frankly, with no landlines and no payphones, It may be beneficial, frankly, for the building to have that stuff, even for the commercial side.
Absolutely. The reason being, think about it. If I'm going to go put a first responders network into the building, right, I'm required by mandate to do that in many municipalities. In fact, most municipalities are starting to roll out everywhere. I'm here in Florida, and as an example, everything in Florida from existing buildings to new buildings to retrofits all have to be augmented with the first responders network. But if I'm going to go do that and I'm going to put coaxial cable in there and I'm going to run antennas, why wouldn't I go one step further and add a few more antennas and a little bit more coax cable and augment that building to allow for AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile? A couple reasons that I would probably want to do it. Number one, it makes the building much safer. It makes the building more valuable to that building owner. It gives the first responders a secondary source of communications, and it gives them additional capability that they don't currently have today. So as an example, if I'm a first responder going into the building and I have to be able to triage somebody and figure out what's wrong with them if they're down for some reason, mm-hmm. It allows me to go in there and do it real time on site with LTE. So I have a set of test equipment that I've got with me. I hooked them up to, an EKG or whatever I need to hook them up there. I now can transmit that information back to the hospital real time to figure out what's wrong with that person and try to start helping save their life before they ever leave that building. If I don't have coverage in there for AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, I have to move that person out of the building and I can start triaging outside. Because typically, especially in this day and time of LEEDS compliant buildings and the density of buildings going in a lot of municipalities, there is no coverage in the buildings unless the carriers decide to spend the money to put coverage in there. And a lot of times they just don't have budgets to do all the buildings.
Okay. And from a building owner's perspective, It sounds like this solution would allow me to do it, both cover my public safety requirements and what I want for my tenants and things like that in one fell swoop, which, as opposed to having to tear up my building multiple times and pay multiple checks and things like that to put in multiple systems.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And in fact, you know, to be honest with you, to do retrofits on a building, it's so much more expensive. If I'm going to have to go put in a public safety system in there, why wouldn't I want to do it all at once, one and done? And if the system's done correctly, which we typically do, that system is designed to go in one time, and then as you expand over a period of time and you add in more frequencies, things change. I was in the other day talking to one of the carriers. They're talking 6G already. You know, we're barely at 5G, and they're talking 6G. Well, that's another frequency that's being offered. If you put the systems in correctly out of the gate, then the modularity of the system will allow you to expand and add, you know, 5G, 6G, and on and on throughout time. So, you know, it's key to design these systems so that they are expandable, they are adaptable to the future technologies, and at the same time, cover all the bases for the public safety and the commercial systems.
Okay. Now, for a long time, public safety said, hey, we have got to have a separate in-building system that's dedicated to us, in part because they knew that they would want extra hardening that the commercial guys may not care about one way or the other. But the other one is interference. What is ADRF doing to help alleviate the interference?
So basically what we're doing, Donnie, is a couple things. One thing that, you know, is designing the system. So if I'm putting a system in, in the old days, what a lot of folks did is they were dealing with lower frequency bands. So if you look at a lot of the AT&T and Verizon, used to be at 850 band. They used to have 700. Used to be IDEN at a lower frequency. Those frequencies are so close in proximity to the public safety bands that you literally had to put notch filters on the equipment in order to keep from not interfering with each other. And they're even running into some of that now at the 700 band with the FirstNet and the 700 frequencies interfering with each other. And the only way to get around it is notch filters. But if I put in a system that is so far away from the public safety band, if I'm operating at, say, 2100, 1900 megahertz, which are the high band, ultra wide band frequencies that the carriers all have, 5G, which is even wider, which is further up on the frequency band, and then the BRS band, which T-Mobile's using, now I've got my separation so far apart that I'm more than likely 99.999% chance of an interfering is almost just not there, right? So the reality here is doing that planning up front to make sure you're not going to interfere, and to have that conversation with the AHJ and the radio shops. Is this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to make sure I don't interfere. And by the way, Mr. Frequency Owner, if you have a problem with the networks, you have every right to shut them down, and because you own the spectrum. So, you know, and we found that to be very useful, and you sit down and have a conversation with them about it. They're willing to listen to the conversation, and most of these AHJs, all of the AHJs, are smart enough to know this is the future, and this is kind of where they need to go at some point.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a powerful thing. This is something that's available immediately?
Absolutely. Got it available right now. In fact, we not only have it available, we're deploying it. So it's actually in the field. Finished up some schools. We put both systems in. One was a large high school, and the other was an elementary school. We got six more followed up. One county's got six more, and there's another one following up with another six schools. And that's not even commercial buildings. Those are the schools. And it worked flawlessly. Transparent to the AHJ, they knew what was going on. We did all the planning, and they're just happy as all get out. The school now has coverage for all their students in the school, and they've got the first responders network all operational in there.
Okay, and for somebody that may already have an ADRF system, moving up to this converged solution, is that something where I'm going to have to rip and replace everything? Or can I leverage some of those assets that are already out there?
You can leverage all those assets. The only thing that you'd have to do, so let's just take it one side of the equation. If I've got a commercial system already deployed, and in fact, this is one of the selling points I've made with the HJs. If I have a commercial network already out there and operational, why wouldn't I want to add the public safety to that? Now, granted, the commercial network is not built and ruggedized to the public safety, but if I can go into a building and add the public safety in there, and they're willing to give us a waiver on running, basically level one protection on the cable and that type of thing, I can provide them coverage almost immediately by just adding a radio source on the end of the line, right? So those antennas are there, they're already set up to operate. They operate from 700, 800 all the way up to 5G. In the case of the networks that are public safety, the only thing you'd have to do with those networks, you'd have to go densify the antennas inside of the building so that you could provide commercial coverage as you're dealing with a much higher frequency band, and you'd have to add on the active electronics to make it happen. And that's fairly easy to do. Yes, you'd have to go back into the ceiling, but you wouldn't have to do as much work as if you were trying to do it at a greenfield. And that's why we recommend doing it out of the gate. Always go and build your building out to cover commercial because you never know when you want to put it in.
Very good point. Well, and this is all going to be available for people to see at IWC.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Don. We appreciate it.
All right. You take care.
You do the same. Thank you.